You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. As a citizen, you have a right to petition the government for redress of grievances. At the state level, that right and the right to put referenda on the ballot can be restricted or, in some cases, circumvented. Paul Jacob has been active in the Libertarian Party and currently serves on the boards of Citizens in Charge, a nonpartisan group working to protect and expand voter initiative rights, and the Citizens in Charge Foundation, a charitable foundation conducting research on the initiative process, educating the public, and litigating to defend petition rights. He was the founder of both of those groups. Let's establish a baseline here. How does Michigan compare to other states in the ability of voters to petition government or get referenda on the ballot?
Well, Michigan has a referendum process, which 16 states do. It has an initiative process for both constitutional amendments and statutory measures. And so it has the various components that you would want. And so it's in the better section, the upper half of states that have the initiative. And of course, only 26 states have either initiative, referendum, or both.
And you said we're one of 16 who have both?
That's right.
Wow. So recently, Michigan's legislature has implemented a 100-day time period for signature collecting to get something on the ballot. Groups have indicated that's way too restrictive. How common is such a restriction in other states that actually allow it?
Well, the states are all over the map. I know people in Arkansas who just filed an initiative that could go on the ballot, and they can collect signatures from now until July of 2018 or 2020 or 2022. There's no real limit whatsoever. Of course, some of those signatures, the people may have moved to another state by the time you turn them in, but there's no limit on how long they can petition. Then there are states like Oklahoma that require a high percentage, 15%, to do a constitutional amendment and only give you 90 days, and that makes it much, much more difficult. Michigan has always had, you know, the 180-day policy, but it was a policy. It wasn't the law, and it's long been discussed that you could collect signatures in a longer period of time. They just wouldn't have the presumption of validity. In other words, the state might say, you have to prove that these signatures gathered 200 days ago are actually valid, instead of having that presumption going in and having to be found invalid.
In your view, how reasonable is that restriction of 180 days?
I don't think it's completely unreasonable to have a restriction. I think it's better policy not to have it. I don't think it really serves any compelling interest for democracy. Obviously, if you take too long a period of time, the signatures aren't going to have the same level of validity, and you risk turning in a lot of signatures, but a number of them having no longer been valid because the people moved. It almost takes care of itself naturally. 180 days isn't terribly short. But again, what is often not seen here is this is a process designed for the average person and people to get together and do it. If you're a big corporate interest or a big union, you've got lobbyists in the Capitol. You have the ability to hire professional circulators and get these measures on the ballot that you want. But this process is really designed for people who don't have all those advantages. And so I think we always have to err on the side of giving people more access to the process, more opportunity to put things on the ballot. You know, it's very difficult. Candidates in different states, candidates running for president, getting on primary ballots, have had an awful lot of trouble sometimes getting 1,000 signatures in a state or 10,000, much less the 500,000 signatures you need in a lot of these states like Michigan and Ohio or California or Florida.
The Michigan legislature has also been attaching appropriations to laws. That prohibits citizen initiatives from repealing those laws. And in many of these cases, these appropriations are not really necessary. This is seen by some in the state as a devious way to circumvent the citizens' rights to challenge the government. What do you think of that maneuver?
Well, I think it is devious. There's no question, you know, with right to work, and that's a controversial issue. People can have solid opinions on both sides of that issue, but with right to work in Michigan, they slapped an appropriations into the measure that really didn't have to be there. And there was a initiative put forth, which my organization, Citizens in Charge, endorsed, which would have changed that. Unfortunately, not enough signatures were gathered. There wasn't the resources to hire circulators. But what should happen is that if you want to wall off appropriations from a referendum, then do that, but allow the rest of the legislation to be put to the voters in a referendum, and that would allow voters more access. There are several states that have what's called an emergency clause or a safety clause, and they can put on any bill a little add-on that says this is an emergency, and therefore it's not subject to referendum. And there are now states like Colorado where a majority of the bills passed every session are emergencies.
Well, we're seeing this appropriations maneuver happening more often than we've ever seen it before. It's becoming a great concern among many people who think it does circumvent citizens' rights. I want to talk about some of the stuff you see in other states. I was told that you see some strange requirements to petition the governor in different states. Arkansas, for example, they mandate a criminal background check for everybody who's doing petition gathering. I mean, what's the purpose behind that?
Well, they actually just mandate it for paid circulators, but of course there have been very few measures that have qualified for the ballot in Arkansas that don't use paid circulators. And what happened is they alleged that there was quite a bit of fraud back in 2012. And from what I have looked at, some of the different petitions, I was actually an expert witness in a court case there, I tend to suspect that there was fraud. But what happened is instead of prosecuting the people who may have committed fraud, they didn't prosecute anybody. Instead, they went to the legislature, and the legislature used it as an excuse to really try to wreck the process and make it more difficult. And it's something that people have to understand across the board. When a case goes to court, the judge, you know, has an idea that the legislature passed this law with good motivations.
Well, I got to tell you, in this state, criminal background check would mean a lot of our former politicians would no longer be able to collect signatures.
Well, it's absolutely ridiculous to think that a First Amendment right, you wouldn't be able to exercise it until you had spent money to have a criminal background check. It's ridiculous. And it's designed specifically for that purpose, to make it tougher for people to get things on the ballot. And we all talk about democracy, but the folks in power don't like democracy unless they think they're going to win the vote. And we see it. We see liberal legislatures. We see conservative legislatures. Who's ever in power has had a tendency to try to block the initiative process because it's the way that folks who are not in power can put something on the ballot and go directly to the people. I think that's a great thing. According to every poll taken in every state I've ever seen, the people think that's a great thing. But frankly, politicians don't think that's a great thing at all.
That's Paul Jacob. He's with Citizens in Charge, a petition-gathering watchdog group. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.